Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Sister to Sister Free Talk Friday, and I'm your host for the evening, Shafia Kavira, also owner of No Longer Broken in the Healing Circle, known as the Holistic Healing Strategist. And I hope that your Friday is going beautiful thus far. Thank you, as always, for tuning in this evening. Know that you could be anywhere else or doing anything else. I mean, maybe you're multitasking, but at any rate, I do thank you this evening for tuning in. To the Initiative Radio Network and to our show this evening. If you are listening via the app and you want to get in on the conversation tonight, you can call in to 562-999-3682 and press 1 and we'll bring you into the conversation. Or if you want to text your question or your comment, you can do that as well. And you can text that to 319-883-7868. I do read any and all comments regardless of what they say, so feel free to voice your opinion. Again, if you want to call in, that number is 563 999-3682 or text 319-883-7868. You can also message your comment or question to me via the Initiative Radio Network. You can submit it through the messenger that way, or you can also submit it through Facebook Messenger to my page, No Longer Broken. Either way, however you decide to do it, if you have something you'd like to share, you'd like to voice your opinion, please do so. As I always say with every show, my thoughts, my opinions are just that. They're not necessarily those of the network. They may or may not agree with me as well. And everybody's entitled to their opinion. We can agree or we can agree to disagree. Whatever it is, I don't tell you what to think, and I'm not trying to tell you what to think. I'm just trying to give you something to think about. So, with that being said, again, please feel free to join in. Whatever you'd like to share, feel free. Only thing that I ask is that you don't get disrespectful, because if you do, I will have to let you go. So we're going to jump into our topic for this evening. And the topic that we're discussing this evening is in regard to freedom and what true freedom is, what it means to try to obtain true freedom, what it means to have true freedom, what it looks like to be free. We often say this or use the word terminology when it comes to the conscious community about separation, being free, and wanting freedom and justice and equality. And also kind of on the tail end of the controversy, the uproar, whatever you want to call it, in regard to the statements made by Kanye West and his statement that slavery was a choice. As I said a couple weeks ago, you know, there are some people that agreed with it, some people that disagreed with it, some were a little bit on both sides. And I happen to be one of those people that were on both sides, because maybe for the first set of slaves who were brought over to America, to North America, when someone takes a hold of you physically and forces you to do something against your will, they trick you into believing something else, so they make it hard for you to have a choice. No, that wasn't necessarily a choice. However, one thing that I think that we're good at doing as people in general, I don't really care what your color is or where you're from, but one thing that has been, I don't know if it's a learned behavior, I haven't really explored it that much to definitively say, but we have a problem with pointing fingers on the outside of us instead of taking responsibility for what we do or don't do, or for making a choice. So sometimes we just won't make a choice, and we accept whatever the outcome, allow people to make choices for us, and then we say, well, you didn't give me a choice. For example, sometimes in relationships, when you already have red flags that the person that you're getting involved in a relationship is not good for you, you still choose to go along with the program of being in communion with that person. Then they go out and they cheat on you, or they do something that breaks your trust, or they do something that you feel is against you, hurts you, breaks your heart, and you say, well, you didn't give me a choice. Had a choice. You just didn't exercise it. And we all make a choice. We all have the choice of whether to do something or not do something. Even if you don't do anything, it is still a choice that you have. We were born with the right of choice. That is that's something that you get as a human. That just comes with the list, with breathing, skin, hair, eyes. You know, that's just on the list. You get a choice. But a lot of us like to shift the responsibility off in the outside world when it comes to us having a choice. Now, as I said, with the first, you know, set of slaves that were brought over here originally, maybe they didn't have much of a choice. But those who were brought up or born and bred on this land. And I know it's not a popular thing to say because we would like to think maybe that people would not want to stay that way if they had a choice. We would like to think that if people had a choice whether or not to be a slave, then they would have made the choice not to be one. But if you really look deeply and closely at it and you look at it with an unemotional viewpoint, our people did have a choice whether or not to be slaves. Maybe the alternative didn't seem to be the greatest, but there were some people who chose to be slaves. There were some people who chose not to run with Mother Harriet Tubman. There were, Tubman. There were people who chose not to fight with Nat Turner. There were people who chose to stay a slave because they didn't want to choose the alternative of facing death. They didn't want to choose the alternative of having to fend for themselves. It was what they knew. And, you know, I find that one of the greatest, culprits to people being successful and moving forward in their lives or making a choice to do better for themselves is being comfortable. Being comfortable can strip you of your desire to move forward. Being comfortable will strip you of your dreams, of your passions. If you get comfortable, you know, being where you are, like, you know, this might not be the best. Again, going back to the example of relationships, how many people choose to stay in a relationship that they know is not going to elevate them, possibly can even kill them because it's what they're used to and they don't want to face the hardship of having. Again, they don't want to face the quote-unquote hardship of being alone. They don't want to face the quote-unquote hardship of having to find a job and take care of children. So they choose to stay, although it is not the ideal situation for them. Same way with careers and jobs. You know that your time is up. You know you should not even be there. You know it doesn't serve you. And every day you go in, you have a headache. You feel like your chest is tightening up. You're getting anxiety. You're depressed. On the weekend, all you want to do is sleep because you don't want Monday to come back around again. And you know it's time for you to push forward, but because you're comfortable, you choose not to make a choice for change. So I can kind of understand where he might have come from when he said 400 years, that's a long time, seems like a choice to me. And some people, another thought that I had on this is that when you don't know you have a choice, you may not make the choice. Or when someone on the outside is making your choices, they're making your choices appear limited. Then you will only choose what's in the box that they've created for you. You know, that almost happened to me in my life. Being a single mother, and some of you may have heard me say this before, when I knew that it was time for me to get divorced, it was a very hard decision for me to make because, one, of how I was brought up by my father and my mother, you know, being a pastor, and I was always taught that divorce and remarriage was wrong. And, of course, my parents, they didn't, you know, I think I mentioned it something at one point, and she wasn't a very big fan of it. She just, you know, was one of those people that think you can work everything out. And reading, I was already into business, and I knew already that, you know, my credit score was low. I was going to have to find a place for me and my children to stay. Things already seemed to be hard financially with the husband, but now I have five children that I'd have to look after on my own. And you know, what if he decided not to help me, and all these other questions that were going on in my head. So I picked up a financial book and I was reading it, and the lady was saying how a majority of children, if they leave their husband after their divorce, they end up in poverty. And I was determined that that wasn't going to be me. Now, I could have stayed in that marriage that I knew had run its course because of the box that other people had drawn for me, and been like, no, according to people, I only have the choice to be impoverished. I only have the choice to make my children another statistic because they won't fare well in school. They won't be educated. They won't thrive because they won't have me there, and all of these other things that people put borders up for me. And I could have just stayed there. But I chose to create my own path. I chose to go outside the box and outside the wall and choose my own path according to what I believe was right for me and my children. And it was the right decision. It was the best decision that I could have made, not just for myself and not just for my ex-husband, but also for my children. And I remember hearing a story by Les Brown, and he talked about how there was a guy that was set to face the firing squad. And he was told, you can either choose to face the firing squad, or you can choose a door over there, and which leads to the unknown. And because the guy was so afraid of not knowing what was outside the door, he chose to face the firing squad. And after he was shot and killed, someone asked the general, you know, what's behind the door? And he was like, freedom. But some of us are so afraid to really fight for true freedom that we settle for a pseudo freedom, or we jump on the freedom bandwagon, a freedom t-shirt, and we think that that's good enough just to say that we want freedom. But we only want the freedom that someone else can give us. And what is someone else's definition of freedom? Is it the same as yours? What does it look like to you? Because for some people, you think of, I was thinking of the movie Martin Luther King. I think it was Martin Luther King. Anyway, it was a movie, had some guy that was playing Martin Luther King in it, and they were getting ready to do a march. And he asked the little girl, and she's like, what do we want? And she was like, freedom. And he was like, when do we want it? Now. And their idea of freedom was being able to vote, sit where they wanted to on a bus, share the same eating places with whites, and the same eating area with whites, be able to go to the same bathroom as whites, and not live in fear of having their lives taken. Not too much change on that part, but because of the color of their skin. To some people, freedom may be not being discriminated in the workforce or being paid equally because of your gender, based on your gender. You know, you don't get paid less because you're a woman versus a man, or being able to still live where you want to live peacefully, having enough disposable income to be able to take care of your family. That could be someone's idea of freedom. Another person's idea of freedom could be getting an island that looks like them, getting on an island and staying there and freed off of this American system and going back to bartering and going back to living a village life where I am my brother's keeper and only person on the island is people of color. But you have to know within yourself whether you want to be a free man or a free slave. And I think that we have a lot of free slaves running around. And some of you are like, well, how can you be a free slave? You know, that's oxymoron. Well, let's just see about that, shall we? So the definition of plague is, a couple of them, are to make directly responsive to another mechanism, to work like a slave, of relating to, involving, or used for slaves or slavery, to work excessively hard, and a person who is the legal property of another and is forced to obey them. Now, you know, when you read the first sentence, you know, a person who is the legal property of another and is forced to obey them. Then you think of, you know, the typical back in the day slavery, obviously. Or you think of the judicial system, you know, the people who are imprisoned, they don't have any, they're basically, it's modern day slavery, they're just a number, and they can work basically for free. They don't really, there's not really any, they don't really have any rights. But when you work a job, you're going to go in when they tell you to go in. If your schedule should be there from 9 to 5, you better be there from 9 to 5. You can't show up at 11 today unless you have to stop a job. You can't just show up at 11 and figure, yeah, I'll work till 8 today because I want to. According to the plan they have laid out for you, you're going to take your breaks when they tell you you're going to take your breaks, and you're going to do the job that they tell you to do. You say, well, I'm doing that because they're compensating me with pay. Well, when you sign all that beautiful paperwork and they give it to HR and they give it to the government telling them how much they're paying you and how much they're taxing what they're paying you, so you're bringing home just enough to say that you're getting paid in the legal limit, and they don't feel guilty about causing you to work so hard for nothing, even if you're just sitting, you're still considered working hard because your brain power and your energy is going to feed someone else's vision that has nothing to do with you. And 9 out of 10 of us that work a job in corporate America, we're not going to elevate to a higher position. So we're just working. But in that moment when you sign that you're an employee of that employer, you're their property, and you're forced to obey them from 9 to 5, 10 to 2, 11 to 6, what have you. They control what you do. Because what happens if you wake up late? You don't casually wake up and say, oh, you know what, I'm late, it is what it is. There are some people out there that be like, yeah, I'll get there when I get there. I ran into them. There are some people like that. But for the most part, try to get there on time because we don't want to lose our and let us walk in late and they call us into the office. We're not going to be like, well, you know what? I woke up late because I really didn't want to be here, but I'm here, so get over it. Nah, that's going to happen. We're going to make a kind of excuses and apologies so we don't get fired. Now, that's just, you know, another a person who is a legal property of another and is forced to obey them is another term or is another meaning for the word slave. Now, what is the definition of free? Not under the control or power of another, able to act or be done as one wishes. Again, that's not usually happening on your job. Not physically restrained, obstructed, or fixed, unimpeded, without cost or payment. So you can be a free slave. You can be not physically restrained, obstructed, or fixed and work excessively hard. So you're a freed slave. You might be like, so what's your point? What do you... When I say free man or free slave, I'm not saying specifically as far as gender goes. I'm just using man in the term of, you know, explaining a human being, a person, in general, inclusive of both sexes. But the reason that I'm asking this is because if you're truly, it's not even about the location of your body. It's more so the location of your mind or your mindset, which is going to determine if you're a free man or you're a free slave. One of the things that I, the last job that I had, which when they told us we had gotten bought by another company, I knew we were going to get some of our offices were going to close and that, some of our departments were going to close. But everybody else was like, no, you know, they need us because we're over here in America and we know what's going on. And the company that had just, I worked for a mortgage company, and it was around the time when in 2008, 2009, and the housing bubble had burst and all of these programs were coming out in order to be able to help people save their homes. And there was a lot of paperwork and stuff people had to go through to get put on these payment programs. So, you know, they're like, well, no, they're not going to let us go. They're going to keep us here because of the fact that all is going on. They don't want to get dinged by the government. But this company was gangster. They didn't care. They was going before, like, they were in the Supreme Court. It seemed like every other week they was testifying and people was leaving. People was getting fired and they were turning up the clock on this and they were getting cited for this, that, and other. And they didn't care. I guess they were making so much money, they figured they could just pay the fines or whatever it was. But I knew that we were going to get sold. I just knew it. I mean, I studied business for one. And it was just looking at the history of the company. They had about 70 to 80% of their employees in other countries, offshore. So being, you know, a business person, obviously, you're going to continue that because you're trying to help your bottom line. But I digress. Anyhow, so they're like, oh, yeah, no. You know, they're going to keep us because they need us. So when they brought us into the room and they told us that we were getting laid off, I was excited. I tried not to let it show. Might have shown this a little bit. Other people were crying. But I was excited because I had told myself that I was no longer, after this job was over, I was not going to go back to work another 9-to-5 because I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to set my own schedule, set my own time, do something that I enjoyed to do. That's what I wanted. And I was not going to go back to work another 9-to-5. It was a brave statement for me to make at the time, considering the fact that I did have 5 children and I was pregnant. So, but it was just something in me that was like, yeah, this is not for me. I don't want to keep working for people where I feel unappreciated and I feel like, even though I'm not doing it, but in my mind, I feel like I should be scratching when I don't itch because of how they're treating me around here. And I can't be with my children when I want to be with my children because I'm trying to make this little change they're trying to give me that's barely helping me get by. And because it's barely helping me get put in 10 extra hours a week from a regular 40-hour week so I can have a little bit extra, which they're taking most of that in taxes, so that little bit extra really isn't going to go that far anyway. But, you know, the saying used to say something's better than nothing, which is not true. But I was a free slave. But I made up my mind right then and there that I was going to work for myself. I was going to try to make that happen. So I used their time as my time. fortunately for me, the position that I had, you know, I wasn't on the phone or anything like that. It really wasn't time-based. It was mainly tracked by the amount of work that you were given for that day. I figured out how to get my work done quickly. And I would sit there and I would write and I would study and I would read, and on my breaks I would read and I would study and I would write things down and I would go through my mind and I would listen to things that inspired and pushed me forward and fed my soul, because I wanted to be a free woman. I didn't want to be a free slave. And that's what changed me. It wasn't the location, the fact that I was in the job and I was sitting there, but my mind was already free. And I'm going to go beyond just the employment analogy, but what about in your life? Are you free in your life? Or is something else keeping you a slave to that part of your life? One of the things that I do as a holistic healing strategist is I help women deal with healing from emotional, physical, spiritual, mental abuse, sexual abuse. And it's not, you know, not a quick fix or something like that where, you know, it's just some hypnosis and boom, it's gone. Nothing like that. What it is, it's a 360 degrees of healing where we deal with the spiritual, mental, and the physical. And we take it stage by stage and we come up with a strategy to help heal. But what happens is that when you get victimized, even if you're a male, but because I work with women, primarily I have worked with some men before too, but I primarily work with women. When you feel victimized, your body and your mind will separate. And you will not feel worthy of any of the blessings that come into your life. So your past will keep you enslaved. Your perpetrator will keep you, the abuser will keep you enslaved. The abuse will keep you enslaved. And because people in this society, you know, we've been taught, especially as women, when we experience some type of abuse or something that's happened to us that's traumatic, we hide it because we don't want to be judged, especially if you're a CEO, you're a professional, and you have this alpha female exterior, you definitely don't want to know. Want to let people know about your past. So we hide ourselves in plain sight. And we don't live authentically. We don't live out loud. Because we let other people's opinions of us keep us enslaved. Because this is how you're supposed to look. This is how you're supposed to act. And you're supposed to let bygones be bygones. You're a strong woman, so get over it. I can't show you that I'm vulnerable and that I have a weak side acting as an alpha female, because if I do, then somebody's going to take advantage of that and roll over me and hurt me again, and I'll be damned if I let that happen again. It's when you have to decide whether you're going to be a free person or a free slave. So we have to think about where our mindset is when it comes to what we individually, personally describe as true freedom, as freedom, as being free. Being able to make your own decisions, being able to call your own shots, being able to say yes or no and own it because it's your right to. But how would you do that? What would that look like to you? How would you be able to put yourself in a position of freedom? Again, I understand that, you know, some of us, we are slaves to guilt. We've seen things happen in our childhood, or we've seen things happen to friends that we carry around with us that we weren't able to stop. My brother, my youngest brother, who recent, well, I only have one brother, my brother. He had a few slight strokes between December and January. Actually, it was December before Christmas, and I went to the hospital to see him, and he was so sad. And we grew up down the street from my grandmother, and she ended up in a wheelchair when I was about 9, 10 years old. So we were down there constantly to take care of her and looking after her because she could not use her right side. So she couldn't use her right hand, so she couldn't cook and she couldn't stand. She was in a wheelchair. And my brother, being the youngest of us three to be down there, by the time I moved out, you know, he would go down the street more often, and I wasn't aware of this. But talking to him in the hospital, I saw that he was just so sad, and he told me how he had talked to our grandmother and was telling her about how sad he was that he hadn't done anything differently when Grandpa was still around, because he thought that she had took some things she shouldn't have to take and that my grandfather wasn't kind to her. He felt guilty because as a child, he hadn't stepped in. How many of you can relate to that? Things that you're carrying on in your, you're carrying around in your psyche from your childhood. Maybe you weren't sexually abused. Maybe you weren't physically abused. But maybe you were verbally abused and mentally abused because of what you saw and what you had to handle. And so you're an adult now. And you're still carrying around the fact that you were a 7-year-old child. You're supposed to look after your siblings, and you weren't able to look after them. Something happened in your home, and you all ended up in foster care system, split up. But because you're the oldest, or you deemed yourself to be the protector of the family in spite of the situation that your parents were in, but you weren't able to keep your family together. Or you weren't able to do what it is you thought should have been done, which would have been in the best interest of you and your siblings. So you're carrying that guilt around. Your past has you enslaved. Your guilt has you enslaved over something that you could not have even made a choice about at that age. And how many of you are carrying around this badge of guilt and feeling less than worthy because of what someone told you when you were growing up? For me, the longest, from my memory back to when I was 5 years old, there were two things that I grew up hating because of how people talked about me and said things about, well, three. Things that I grew up hating because of how people talked to me and what they said to me as a child and how they made fun of me. And that was one about my hair, because my hair was my sister. She seemed like she had the really pretty hair. So my mom was, straighten it with a straightening comb off the stove. Her hair was just so long and it would flow. And then my mother would straighten mine, and it seemed like even with grease on it, it was shiny. But it was still hard and coarse, and it didn't flow. It just was stiff. So I grew up not liking my hair. I grew up not liking my eyes. And I have big, pretty eyes, big, pretty, sexy eyes. But I grew up not liking my eyes, and I grew up not liking my smile because for some reason, hereditarily, I had very weak teeth. And so I had a Midwest grill before full grills was popular down south. And so I grew up hating that. And I was just informed that my mic is cutting in and out a little bit. I apologize about that. I'm going to try to keep it steady here. But I grew up
hating those things about myself. And for many, many, many years, or 20 years, they kept me enslaved to how I interacted with people. I was authentic with people. When I couldn't be authentic because I couldn't look them in the eyes because I hated my eyes. I didn't want to wear my own hair because I didn't like my hair. My interactions with men were hard because I didn't think I was attractive to them because I didn't have the long, pretty hair, and I didn't have the pretty Hollywood smile. But I love my smile because it's inviting and it's authentic. Still don't have the pearly white Hollywood smile. I don't care about that. But are you letting those things keep you from truly being free and being authentic and who you are? So those are questions you have to ask yourself. Where's your mindset at, and what needs to be done in order for you to shift that in order to have true freedom? Because as long as you don't hold yourself accountable for your choices, there's always going to be the scapegoat, and you're always going to you're always going to be put in a position where, I apologize, I'm trying to fix my mic here because, again, someone that's listening in is saying that they can't hear me. So I'm trying to make sure I'm fixing that, trying to multitask at the same time. I do apologize. So you have to be aware of the things, of where you're giving your power up at and your choice. And as I started off saying, it can be so easy to want to say, well, I don't have a choice. Even I was listening earlier to Tony Robbins, and he was talking about, he was giving the background story of Oprah and about how, you know, she got pregnant at a young age and she was raised by her grandmother, the things that she went through in the earlier part of her life. And if you look at her background, you would have been saying, well, you know, she didn't have a choice. If you would have just looked at that snapshot of her life during that time and were like, well, she's 13-year-old, got pregnant, she's from poverty, she really didn't have a good relationship with her mother, raised by her grandmother, father really didn't treat her well. What if she had just been like, I don't have a choice but to be like my mother. I don't have a choice but to be who I am, or to allow my grandmother, her viewpoint, to shade what I'm doing. Again, I'm talking about, what does it look like for you to have true freedom? And not only what does it look like to have true freedom, but what does it take to obtain it? And you know how I like to look up words and stuff like that. So the definition of freedom, one of the definitions of freedom, is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. So what does it look like for you to be authentic and live authentically from the core of who you are? I look through my life when I was as far back as I can remember. And I think of how my life could have taken so many different directions where I just would have been, some of them, I would not even be here today, literally speaking. I would not even be alive today had I not made, and some choices I made, my life could have took me down a whole nother path that maybe could have been a little bit better, and I wouldn't have had to go through some of the things that I went through. But mainly, I look at the choices able to make when other people were trying to put me in a box, when other people were trying to keep me from my yes, my authentic yes, when other people were trying to shape and mold me into what they thought was the best for me to be. You know, a lot of times as parents, we can be guilty of doing that. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't guide your children or give them knowledge or give them wisdom. But there comes a point in their lives when the only thing that you can do is give them some wisdom, but you have to let them spread their wings and learn how to fly on their own. Because there's lessons that they have to learn that's going to strengthen and help them become who they're supposed to be. You have to allow them to say their yes. You have to allow them to have an authentic yes. And that's another problem that we have as society, is that everybody thinks that they know what's right for the next person, and they want to give the next person their advice. But when it comes time to turn the mirror inward and take a look, oh, they don't want to do that, because they don't want to look at the emptiness in their own eyes. They don't want to look at the pain and their own brokenness in their heart. They don't want to the slumping in their shoulders for when they've given up on their own passion and they've given up on their own dreams. They don't want to see the mouth that's set in a line or a frown because they've forgotten how to smile and they've lost joy in their soul. They don't want to do that. So it's easy to deflect. The same way with when you have not making a strong stance to make a choice in your own life and do what it is you feel you want to do with your life. So it's easy to be able to say, you know what? They just won't let me be great. Oh, they don't want me to be great. I used to say that, but I stopped using that because words are powerful affirmations. When you write something, when you say something, even when you think a thing, you're putting that into the atmosphere and it's attaching itself to you. So I stopped saying, they don't want me to be great. They don't want to let me be great. Why? Because if I want to be great, nobody can stop me. Only two people that can stop me from making the choice to be great. And that's the creator of all things and myself. So it's easy to look on the outside of yourself and say, this person is stopping me. This person won't let me because this happened to me when I was younger. I can't. Because my mom wasn't there, I can't. Because my dad wasn't there, I can't. Because I was an only child, I can't. Because we were poor and broke, I can't. Because we were rich and my parents gave me everything and never taught me anything, I can't. It's time out for making the excuses. When you're a free slave, that's what you do. You make an excuse for why you can't choose to take the path that you want. Now, if you choose to be a free slave, that's one thing. Own it. You say, you know what? I'm too afraid to make that move. I'm too afraid to step out in this area. I'm too lazy to do this. I procrastinate too much. I really don't want to. I'm just cool being where I'm at. If that's your choice, then make it and own it. And when I said that, there were some slaves that chose to be slaves because when it came time for them to run and face the uncertainty of freedom, because that this is what they were born into. This was all that they knew. Yeah, they had to work hard, but they knew where their food was coming from. They knew where their shelter was coming from, no matter how poor it was. or how meager it was, they knew where it was coming from. Made a choice. They made a choice to remain a slave. And some of them made a choice to silence that inner voice that was saying, this is not right. This is not where I'm supposed to be. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm pretty sure that that voice came up many times. Why? Because as human beings, we are innately born the right of choice. We can go left, we can go right. We can stand up, we can sit down. We can lay on our stomach, lay on our back. But it's the choice. We get to make the choice. I have a 2-year-old daughter. And whenever I'm able to, I offer her a choice. And it was said to me, they were like, someone said to me, I can't remember who it was, but they're like, I didn't know. Why are you giving a 2-year-old a choice? You know, I didn't know it was a good 2-year-olds had a choice. Well, yeah, she does. And I want her to grow up knowing that she has a choice. Because too many of us have grown up in society thinking that this is just the way that it is. This is the way that it's going to be. Again, the whole they won't let me, whoever they is, that's one thing that a long time ago, that I really stopped focusing on, is the powers that be, the whole, this society, they won't let me. There's no they that can't let me. I will not subscribe to that. I don't care who you are or what you do. So I don't like the they. I don't want my daughter, none of my children, but especially her, now that I know better and I'm learning more, I don't want her to grow up thinking that she doesn't have a choice. Now, she's not going to, I have to supersede her choices at times, but she still has a choice. She has a choice to either listen to me or suffer the consequence. And fortunate for her, most of the time, she's smart enough to follow what mom says and not have to suffer the consequence. But again, when it comes to free man or free slave, free woman, or free slave, what is going to be your choice? Or will you continue to let other people make the choice for you so that you can play the blame game? In the description of the show, you know, I put that in searching for freedom or in searching for the definition of freedom and what true freedom looks like to you that you have to go. Because a lot of us don't understand that we are carrying around generational energy blocks that are keeping us from choosing to have the life that we desire and the life that we deserve. And having the life that you desire and deserve really is not different than the life that you have right now. Obtaining it is not different than the life you have right now, because every day you make a choice to live the life that you have. Even if you don't like it, even if it's the life that you don't want, you still are making a choice to have the life that you have. And you're like, well, Shafia, like, what do you mean by that? Like, no, this is not what I want. You know, I don't want to be single. I want to have a partner. I want to have more money. I don't want to live here. I want to live in another state. Or I have the partner that I like. I don't even want to be with them anymore. They're just here. They won't go anywhere. I don't really like my job, but I'm stuck here. I can't find another one and just paying the bills. It's still a choice because you're still choosing to go to the job. And you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense because if I don't work, I don't have money to pay my bills. I don't have money to eat. I don't have money to take care of my children. So that means you have to create another box for yourself and take a look inside and choose what you can do to be able to get the money that you need to take care of your children, take care of your home, to have the type of lifestyle that you want or to have the type of partner that you want. For the better part of my life and relationship, I've had a couple, you know, good ones, but I know how to deal with them. But I was attracting the same kind of man over and over and over again. Different color, different height, different waist size. But I swear it was the same guy over and over and over again was showing up. And I kept saying, like, what is really going on here? Like, I'm not understanding this. Like, this one seemed like he had a job, but he's still underneath. He's needy and extra. I can't handle that. And he's not, you know, we're not on the same wavelength. This one over here, he broke and he cute, but he's still same thing. And I had the epiphany. I was like, it's you. You're the common denominator of all these things. So you got to choose something different. You have to go inside, look at yourself, and find out what you're choosing that's showing up on the outside that's matching you up with these people that you said what you don't want. But your subconscious and your energetic vibration has a sign that says, all needy men afraid of commitment, want to be controlling, ignorant, blah, 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 other stuff that I didn't apply here. And so I had to go inside and change the narrative. I had to change the record. I'd love to say that once I did that, all of the right people flocked to me. No, you know what happened? Everybody disappeared. The wrong ones and the right ones. And you might be like, well, so how is that a good thing? Because what I realized is that I needed to make the choice to be with myself, to heal myself, to truly know what it is that I want and desire, absent of my pain, absent of my adapting to people's opinions and people's perception of me as the superwoman who could never be in need of anything. I needed to get back to the core of who I was and want the type of life I desired from the place of a healed woman, if that makes any sense. Are functioning out of a broken narrative, out of misshapen paradigms, out of hurt, anger, disappointment, sadness, and grief. And that's the well we're dipping into for our life source. It's like looking through a cracked glass. You can see, but you can't see clearly. And those cracks are causing distractions for you. So what you want when you're in that state, as a freed slave because you're enslaved to all of the drama and the trauma is not what you really want when you get at peace with yourself, when you learn to forgive, when you learn to let go, when you learn who you truly are, when you live from your purpose, when you live from your passion, when you live from the place of, I don't care what other people have to say, this is me, I'm being authentically me and who I am. So different. It's so different. I used to think that there were certain things that I wanted. You know, I wanted a really, 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 really big house. I still want a big house, but not in the same way that I used to want. And all of these cars and wanted to be famous and all of these other things. And I wanted those things because my ego was hurt. I was still living in a place of low self-esteem from that abused little girl. I was afraid to get vulnerable because in her mind, being vulnerable was what got her hurt in the first place. So, if I had more than enough money, more than enough fame, a big house, didn't need anybody for anything, was independent and stood on my own, that kept me in that box and nobody could get to me. Nobody could hurt me. Nobody could use me because I wasn't vulnerable, so they couldn't get close to me. Just because people don't usually come close to people they can't connect with or that don't need them. So you have to also look at what inside of you is causing you to be on survival mode all of the time. It's causing you to make choices from survival mode. Now see, and that's the other thing, is that when you look at, and I'm not saying that the choices that our ancestors to stay enslaved was a bad one. It was a survival mechanism. Who wants to die? Who wants to get killed? But for some people, their desire for freedom was so strong that they were willing to forgo the first law of nature, which is self-preservation, and push forward, push through the pain, push through the fear, push through the doubt of what was on the other side, and have the faith to believe that if they could make it to freedom, that they'll find a way to maintain their freedom and find a way to maintain their livelihood. And then some of them, like Mother Harriet, she didn't just one time on her behalf. She had to go back and get some more. And if I'm correct, it's her saying, she said, I could have freed more if they knew they were slaves. Some of us don't even know that we're enslaved to other people. We're enslaved to society. We're enslaved to things. We're enslaved to opinions. We don't know. So some of us are not even searching for true freedom because we think we've arrived or we've settled that this is how life is going to be for us because of whatever hand we were dealt. We're just learning how to play it. Or we're just going to make lemon out of lemonades. How about selling those bad boys or turning them back in or bartering them for apples? When you function out of survival, you won't move. So for the woman who's in an abusive relationship, she's afraid. She hates it. She's tired of getting hit and hurt. But her survival mechanism is so strong, it will forgo the natural law or supersede the natural law of self-preservation. Some of us, it's plain in our lives, our need to survive in this society is so strong that it's superseding the first law of nature of self-preservation in us, when we know that we can achieve so much more, when we know we're meant for so much more, when we know that we're meant to own our own business, that we're meant to lead something, but we're falling into a follower position because survival has kicked in. We just want the money. We just want the job security. We just want the relationship security. We just want the security of them not shooting us when our hands are up. We see the injustice. We've experienced the injustice. But we won't say anything because our survival mechanism wants to separate us from them. I'm not like them. I'm not like them. Y'all good white people, and I'm not trying to rock the boat because I'm just trying to survive. I got to keep my job. I got to keep my house. I got to pay for my bills. I got to take care of my kids. If I don't have this job, and even though they're talking to me crazy, and even though they're not treating me the way that they're supposed to be doing, and even though they're not going by that handbook that they have me sign, and even though that person over there can do what I can't do, I'm in survival mode. So I choose to stay alive. The pain of me staying alive supersedes the pain of me not living out my God-given talents and gifts, or my desire to explore the rest of the world, the rest of the country. The pain from my abuse and the hurt from the past relationship supersedes the pain of my loneliness and wanting a companion, wanting children, wanting a family. Wanting to have the connection of community. So, I'll forgo that. So again, I don't blame those ancestors that made the choice to survive and chose to stay where they were and stay in slavery. That was their choice. But again, when you give someone else the right to choose for you by not choosing for yourself, you cannot point the finger on the outside anymore. You have to point the finger in and either make the choice to continue to give your choice up to them, or to choose for yourself. So again, that's what I mean by, are you going to be a free man, woman, or be a free slave? And continue to give your power away. I've recently made a decision in my life that's, I won't say it's one of the hardest decisions that I've ever made, but it's teaching me so much about who I am and what I'm really willing to fight for. As I said before, when I was laid off at the last job that I had, I told myself, I was like, it's no going back from here. You've got to make your way, or you're going to die. One of the two, one of the other. And having children, that's something really hard. But the thing that I want to teach them is that you have to
You can't just settle in life. You get to choose what you want to do. And it doesn't matter the box that people put you in and say, well, you know, the good thing to do is you graduate from high school, you go to college, and you get a good job, and you raise a family, you retire, and you die. That's the way society runs. And a few, select few, they get the opportunity to travel or and have time and money freedom and do what they want to do. That's not how it works. But you'll never get to that point unless you decide for yourself what freedom means for you. You can't let someone else determine that. Again, as I said, if your choice of freedom is working a 9-to-5, is staying in your bubble, if that's what you choose, then own it and make sure you're choosing that because that's what you really want. And even if you're choosing that out of fear and survival, make sure you understand the consequences of it. Because there's nothing worse than choosing something for someone else or because someone else told you that you've had to, and then living with the regret of that. I've been there, done that too. But you have to know, and the only way you can be informed is that you have to go and make the choice from the inside out. Too often, I see people around me making choices because, again, someone presented them with 5 choices and told them that they have to choose out of these 5. And so instead of them thinking, oh, there's a other, it's kind of like, you know, when you fill out an application and they ask you your ethnicity. You know, they got the white, the black, the Hispanic, the Native American, and some of them are getting clever and they're putting, you know, other, whatever. But how often do we choose the other? Even if, well, I don't know what the other means, but if how often do we choose the other? We stick within the box that we're given. Now, what if I would have chosen to stay within a box of divorced, black, single mother, impoverished, never owning property, children statistic? What if I just decided that that was all that was available to me and I decided just to live my life that way? Where would I be? Where would my children be? And the thing that I can say that I've learned, in spite of the hardships that I go through, you know, on this road to freedom, and choosing, because it's not always easy. When you're going against the grain, and when you're walking down a path that's not trod by a lot of people, it gets lonely. Because the normal person would be, especially if, you know, if any of you out there listen to me, you're an entrepreneur or you've ever been an entrepreneur, you are striving to be one. You tell somebody that and they'll be like, why don't you just go get a job? Or you can find a job. You know, especially if you've gone to college, you got a degree, oh, especially then. And they're like looking at you like, why don't you just go get a job? You can go get a good job anywhere. I don't want to get a job. I don't want to be anybody's employee. Because I don't want to have somebody bossing me around because I'm a boss. So to have some, I'd end up hurting somebody at this stage in my life, especially the more that I know and the more that I grow, yeah, I can't have that. So it gets lonely out here sometimes because there's nobody you can really talk to. You know, maybe you might have found some people in your circle or you created a circle around you that you can, you know, talk about that. And you should have multiple circles in your life. You know, you got your personal friends, circle, and then you got your business circle, you know, different circles in your life for people that can help support you. But it can get lonely out here at times. But what I'm learning about myself and my tenacity and my strength and having to dig down deep when I feel like there's nothing left and I come up with something, that's priceless. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And I go through some things. I go through some deep things. I pray, I meditate, and I choose to believe that there's greater for me and that greater is coming and that what I desire will manifest, and it will manifest very soon. So that leads me to be able to say every day, I love my life. Because is it Frank Sinatra that says, I did it my way? He sings that song, I did it my way? And that's what we come into this world to do. That's what we manifest in the physical form to do. We don't come here to be like everybody else. We don't come here to be somebody's clone or twin and be like, oh, that's what they're doing, let me do it too. That's not what we're put here for. That's why we're all unique in our own way. But it's so easy to live from your place of hurt and guilt and trauma and failures, other people's opinions, stigmas, sexism, classism, religion. You know, as I said before, I really have become anti-religion. And that doesn't mean that, you know, people that subscribe to one thing or the other, I look at them like, ooh, you know, get away from me. That's not what that means. For me, I'm more of a spiritual person. I'm more in the vein of connecting to the creator of all things so that I can connect to him, some say her, and decide what I was put here to do, why I'm here. I'm not caught up to follow a script to show how holy I am or how spiritual I am or how much better of a person I am than the next. There's things that I have learned from each religion that I follow or each religion that I study that I've incorporated that makes me a better woman, and it helps me to see people in a better light, and it helps me to do what I do as a healer. Because if I was so caught up in religion, if I subscribe to Islam mainly, and someone Christian came to me and wanted my help, would I have to take time to try to convert them because they don't believe what I believe? Or would I not be able to be free to connect to them because we use different religious language? And there, you know, I'm not saying that anybody that subscribes to a certain religion or whatever, that they can't connect with someone on a different level. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that for me, what works for me is to remain spiritual and to remain neutral and not try to put a label on myself. When I did, it hampered me. It shut me off from a lot of things. And it worked for me for a certain amount of time. And I had to go to another level. But the thing that I want you to take away from tonight, and I want you to think about, is one, what does true freedom look like to you on the inside? And I'm not talking about politically or communitively. That's not what I mean. Because everything that's going to show up on the outside has to start on the inside first. I don't know who said it, but it's the saying that says, be the change
that you want to see. And Bishop Jakes, one of my favorite quotes, and I had it pinned on my wall. And he said, you teach what you know, you reproduce who you are. So every day, I practice to be that which I want to produce. I don't want to just teach what I've heard. I want to teach and reproduce who I am. So that means I can't be out here being crazy. We don't need any more reproductions of crazy. For one, what does true freedom look like to you? For yourself on a personal level, what does it look like to be authentic? What does it look like to be able to possess the power or the right to act, speak, or think as you want without hindrance or restraint? Two, are you taking power or taking advantage of the power of choice? Are you taking advantage of the power of choice? Or are you letting someone else choose for you? Three, are you making choices out of survival, pain, trauma? Or are you making choices desire to truly obtain freedom and be authentic? And four, what are you going to do? What are you going to choose to do to put you on the path to obtain the freedom that you desire, if you desire? Action step. Not just talk, an action step. And an action step can be to truly acknowledge that where you are right now, you don't want to be there. You're there for survival reasons. For any women out there that are listening tonight that are still dealing with the residue of sexual, emotional, physical, mental, verbal abuse, I want to say to you that trying to just get over it or cover it up with relationship, a good job, degrees, pretty makeup, expensive hair, designer bags, designer clothes, or natural hair, no makeup, African garb, beautiful Ankh pieces. You can't heal if you don't get real. There's nothing wrong with saying, I still hurt.
what's happened to me is still affecting my life. I'm sabotaging my relationships, or I'm having one failed relationship after the other. I'm exhausted from trying to be an overachiever. I'm exhausted from always having my game face on, trying to act like there's nothing wrong with me. I'm tired of always trying to be prim and polished, or keeping this wall up so that nobody will get close to me so that they can really see that I'm still a scared little girl, or I'm still that victim trying to make it. I'm tired of living a lie when I know that I'm not okay. I would love to have a conversation with you and share with you the holistic healing methods that I've used and I use with my clients to help them get at the root of their pain. And heal from the inside out. Because you're masking your trauma is costing you. It's costing you the love that you truly desire. It's costing you the freedom of your voice. It's costing you money freedom. It's costing you career moves. It's costing you your health. Bottling up hurt, trauma, and pain causes cancer, stress, high blood pressure, diabetes. It causes problems in our wounds, in our bones, in our brains. In my studies, I learned that abuse truly does alter your brain. Your physical brain. I would like for you to go to www.coachshafia.com and you can message me there, or you can schedule to have a 30-minute free session with me. But I would like to talk to you about the different opportunities that I offer. I offer a home study course. There's a group study course. There's one-on-one 12-week course. And there's also a one-day VIP luxury healing intensive. Now, that one is the one that I'm most excited about. That's the one I love because I get an opportunity to talk one-on-one with you in a beautiful location where we can get spiritually in tune. We can work on healing your feminine energy, but you also get an opportunity to get pampered like the queen that you are. So my signature coaching program, strategy programs are the Restore the Queen, the Bronze, Silver, Gold, Platinum, and Diamond. But the thing is that your time. It's your time to be healed. You deserve to have the best life. You deserve to be freed from the prison that you've been carrying around all of this time. The guilt, the shame, the hurt, the pain, the questions. Aren't you tired yet? Aren't you tired yet? Spent 30 years. 30 years. That's a long time. More than half of my life carrying around all of this pain, this guilt, and this trauma, and this agony. It was eating my life away. As I told you before,
on multiple occasions, my life almost ended physically. The pain on me was so great that I didn't even think I was going to make it past 24. I didn't want any children. I wanted to be loved, but I didn't even know what that looked like. I didn't care about myself, but I expected other people to. But you can only expect people to treat you how you teach them to treat you. And the cycle of abuse just kept going over and over and over, and it showed up in different ways. Until I began to use the methods that I was taught, that I was shown, and that I teach and I show other women. And it's changed my life. I used to pray a prayer all the time that I no longer pray because my prayer has been answered. But I used to pray and I used to say, Almighty God, the only thing that I ask you to do for me, there's two things that I want before I leave this earth. One is I want to be able to see my children grown where they're able to take care of themselves and they don't have to rely on anyone. And two, I want to know what it is to be true. Please don't let me leave this earth without knowing what it feels like to be truly loved, because that was an empty void in my life. And the thought of dying without knowing that someone truly loved me, it was, the thought of it was unbearable. I don't have to pray that second prayer anymore because I know what it feels like to truly experience real love. But I wouldn't have been able to attract that into my life if I was still functioning from the pain and the trauma and the guilt that I was carrying around from the age of 5 years old. There were some men that showed up in my life that truly did love me and were good men. But I wasn't healed enough to let them in. But those who continue to perpetuate the cycle of abuse, oddly enough, because it was familiar to me, it's what I carried in my psyche, it's what I could relate to. The Healing Circle, www.shafia.com. I would love to have a conversation with you and let you know how you can be healed and be free and take power of your choice to have a different life. Stop letting the past be in the driver's seat of your life, making detours for your future and putting you in ditches. How you can restore and reclaim your crown, because you deserve it, sis. You deserve it. You deserve it. You don't have to wait anymore. There's someone here that will stand with you in your pain, because I've been there and I've done that and I know what it feels like. Even when you can't even verbalize it and say it, there's someone that will be there with you, will walk through it with you, will support you as you come out on the other side and celebrate with you. Because, you know, that was one thing I noticed, that when I begin to get stronger and I begin to get better, people that I thought were around me that would celebrate with me, they got angry. And people started disappearing. And people hating. because I carried myself like I, you know, I had high self-esteem. But when I really truly got it, oh, it became too much for some people to handle. Those who weren't real. And I didn't have to dismiss them. They dismissed themselves. And that can happen for you. Anyone else out there who's listening, who knows someone that may be able to benefit from our services, please also have them reach out to me at www.com or message me at No Longer Broken on my Facebook page. Also, please go to the No Longer Broken Facebook page and like the page. If you're on Instagram, you can like Coach Shafia at Coach Shafia. Look me up on there and like my Instagram page so that you can keep up to date on different things that I share, different little positive affirmations and meditations. I also do a live Q&A on Facebook on Wednesdays, and I'll also be doing Weekend Wisdom starting tomorrow on Wednesday, on Saturday. Just a little to help you out. And to show you that I truly love you and I'm here to support you as your sister. When I was younger, I wanted to go to school to be an obstetrician because I really wanted to deliver babies. There was something about the birthing process that I loved, even though I didn't know too much about it when I was younger, but it was just something about the fascination of how babies were created and brought into this world that I loved. And it was at one point in time when I felt sad that I hadn't been able to achieve that because it was something that I really wanted. And Spirit spoke to me and was like, you don't deliver physical babies, but you do deliver spiritual ones. You're not a physical midwife, but you are a spiritual one. And there's a whole lot of women who have babies that are past their delivery date. And if you know anything about the physical birthing process, when you hold a child in the womb past this delivery date, it will die. And the mother will die with it. So don't hold your baby no longer. I got my sleeves rolled up. I got all my work clothes. I'm in position. I got the table already set up, got what you need, and I'm ready to help you birth this baby. I'm ready to catch it for you. I'm ready to talk you through the pain. I'm ready to rub your back and put the cold towel on your forehead and remind you to breathe through it and count while you push. Stop selling yourself short. Stop lying to yourself. Saying you're okay when you're not, when you know you're not okay. It's all right. Me and you, confidential. You ain't got to let anybody else see you sweat. But this is a judgment-free zone. There's nothing that you can tell me that'll make me look at you any differently. And believe me, I've heard some things before in my life, but that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to help you connect to your higher self and give birth to that thing that's been growing on the inside of you. Stop surviving and begin to live. Self-preserve. It ain't about anybody else. It's about you. I thought keeping myself in a certain position was doing better for my children. But me being my authentic self and being myself and living from my place of authenticity is the best thing that I could have ever done for my children. Because I'm encouraging them to do the same. So come on, sister. I'm waiting on you. I know you hear me. I know you're listening.
Make the choice to choose you for once. Choose you. Stop trying to make other people feel comfortable because you're ready to live. Choose you. www.coachyafia.com. Don't let anything stand in your way. And that's Coach, COACHSH, A, F as in Frank, IAH, CoachShafia.com. So I pray that you've gotten something out of this show this evening that will help you to just be who you are. Ain't no sense in faking the funk no more. What you've got, someone's been waiting on. And they're looking for the real you. And they can't hear it because you're supposed to be speaking Spanish. You're speaking French. Let your light shine. Don't hide it anymore. When you let your light shine, you give other people permission to do the same. And that's the only thing I'm trying to do is I'm trying to shine my light as bright as it can get and tell people, come on, shine your light too. I don't care if your light can be bright white, your light can be yellow, somebody else's can be red or green or blue. It doesn't matter. Shine your light. And together we can dispel the darkness. So I pray that you'll have a great weekend, that you'll enjoy the rest of your night. Y'all know me. When I'm done talking, it's a wrap. I can't stuck in no time constraints or, you know, time limits, even though I still have 60 minutes available for my show. But I'm not going to just keep running off at the mouth when I don't feel guided to say anything else. I'm going to leave it at that. But I love you. Please know that I do. I don't care if I don't know you. I love you from the place of spirit, from the source of all things. The divine in me recognizes the divine in you. And that's who you are. So therefore, I love you. Not your physical exterior, not your name, not your characteristics, but you. To define you. Trying to love on yourself this weekend. Show some love to someone else. What you give, you'll receive back. Plant some seeds of goodness. Enjoy your weekend. Don't worry about Monday. Enjoy the day that you got today. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Thank you again for tuning in to the Initiative Radio Network here this Friday evening on the Sister to Sister Free Talk Friday with your host, Shafia Kabira, the owner of No Longer Broken and the Healing Circle, the Holistic Healing Strategy. I love you. I love you. I love you. Go on, peace, love, and light. I'm out, y'all.